Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for June something or other. It's like the first few days of June.
Early June. It's the 4th.
Which means I've already forgotten to do some things that I was definitely going to do before the 4th. Oops.
What were you supposed to do before the 4th?
I was supposed to respond to some email. I was definitely supposed to.
Oh, well, you're always behind on that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm really behind.
Because you're a selfish and disorganized person. Who doesn't have your life together? Sorry, I'm being your inner voice.
Oh, is that what it is? I'm taking
on the persona of your
I was your like, own. Oh, man. I mean, I know I'm disorganized, but I didn't know I was selfish.
But that's what you...
Oh, ouch. On a Monday morning.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I am disorganized. Look at my house. Look at my house.
It looks like the Proverbs 31 woman had a schizophrenic moment and turned into the...
Martha woman.
But you've been gone. It's not your fault. You've been gone for the weekend.
I was hoping that you would clean the house while I was gone.
I was intending to clean the house while you were gone. But
I knew that you couldn't.
I had the recital yesterday. Not my recital, but...
I know.
Not my dance recital, but...
I thought that it would be cool, though, if it had been your dance recital. If you and your boys had danced around.
There were actually some males in the dance recital.
Yeah.
But I decided that would not be something that I would want my boys to do.
You know, boys get half off.
They
because
do.
No, but it's very hard to get them to do that.
Yeah. Well, I can't imagine why it would be difficult.
Yeah.
I think if they offered it for free, they'd have the same number of boys.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that there's any amount of money.
They'd have to pay the boys to do it.
Our child was awarded a great honor.
Yes, Gwendolyn did very well. She got a free certificate for a whole year of classes. Scholarship is what it was because of her. She's really good. I was amazed at how coordinated she is. How old is she, 11?
10.
10, she's 10. Somewhere around there.
She's very coordinated. Not that, like, the rest of us are uncoordinated, but...
She, like, has
some weird...
It's possible
that we are not
She probably gets it from me because I was very athletic and had great athletic prowess when I was...
You were a very short basketball player.
I was point guard, though, so I was, like, I was quick and
I don't know what that means. I don't know what a point guard is.
It means I was fast, quick, and coordinated. Because I had to dribble the ball and pass it to people.
You have a good
and I had to
center
it.
Of gravity.
Yes, that's what it was. Until I broke my leg. In sports.
In the sportsing.
Yeah, in the sportsing and all of the...
Your dreams of becoming an amazing basketball player. Fame.
The sports world was never the same.
I mean, it is hard for people to believe that you played basketball because...
Because I'm so short.
You are... Very
but
short.
You were there when I cut my Achilles tendon in half playing basketball. You saw I was beating Ife, who's 6'4", 6'5". Oh, I'm 5'7". I was beating him.
Aren't you more like 5'6"?
I'm 5'7".
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, okay, good.
I was beating him because I was quick.
Yeah.
And then he had
already broken his Achilles tendon before that another time. So his basketball career was already over.
But he was a really good basketball player, and I was...
You're better than him.
I was winning until my ACL snapped. Not my ACL, my Achilles tendon. This is probably the most entertaining Preventing Grace podcast we've done in a long time.
Yeah.
Talking about my glory.
Your glory moment. Your, like, 30 seconds of glory. And then a year of recovery. That was a fun time.
Yeah. Where I had to lay in. I couldn't get off the couch. I mean, literally couldn't get off the couch. The doctor said don't walk for...
A really long time.
Yeah, and I had to lay on the couch while you did everything. And then the flood came.
Yeah.
While you were...
Well, I was so pregnant.
I couldn't get up off the couch.
You finally did, though.
Like 3 feet.
Because I was crying in the basement alone, and I was so pregnant, and I was weeping. And so you wrapped your leg in a plastic bag and, like... Broke the
rule.
Because That was a bad time in our lives.
That was a bad time.
It was a very bad time. And that's what we were going to talk about today. Well, I just went on a retreat, which was really nice. I got to hang out with some really interesting and lovely women for the weekend. And I'm very relaxed now. Which is why I can't remember the date and why I've forgotten to do all my email. The topic was...
You led the retreat. You didn't just go on it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did. I spoke. I didn't really lead it. I spoke sometimes. I said some things.
You were the supreme leader of the retreat.
No. I was the speaking portion of the retreat. The supreme leader of the retreat was so organized. It was a perfectly balanced retreat, like between nice, relaxing things and spiritual things. The place where the retreat was a Catholic place that we figured out was more spiritual than religious. Although I would have said the food was more religious than spiritual. Very really? Institutionally oh. religious food. It took me right back to my childhood in this sort of institutional feeling of the food.
Are there actual monks and nuns who lived there?
There were nuns, I think. Everybody was in plain clothes.
See, okay, I don't understand this. So I couldn't. I'm sorry, I don't want to take off this head.
No, yeah, go ahead.
I'm not Roman Catholic, as you know.
Are you? Really?
And neither am I a monk.
I had no idea that was
and
so.
And I'm not a nun. But if I were Roman Catholic and I were a nun or a monk, I would wear the stuff. Why would you go through all the trouble of making a vow of chastity, poverty, and
not get to wear
obedience
the stuff.
And not wear the stuff? Why would you not do that?
I feel like that would be the only way that it would make it okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So. There was one person, I think that people who have had that life perhaps go here to retire.
Oh.
I think they do retreats. They have a lot of things going on, but one of the things they have going on, I think, is that people, that nuns who have lived out their nun life come here.
I see.
And live in very beautiful grounds, and they have their meals down in this one place. There was one person in a habit, and then a lot of women in plain clothes. And they were all really friendly, all of the nuns. I'm assuming that's it. Then I was waylaid by an elderly gentleman walking a dog who obviously was not associated with the retreat center. Because he asked me if I lived there.
Oh, I was on the phone with you and he was talking to you.
And
yes.
Then he said... he started to tell me that his girlfriend, his fiance, is in Africa. It's really sad how
the
money went away. No, he had no idea.
He was
like, I need to get money to bring her here, but all the money's gone. And I was like, I wanted to say, is she Nigerian? But I didn't say it. He looked really sad, so I said I would pray for him.
Oh, you'd be thinking...
I think he was scammed.
Oh, poor guy. How old is he?
Yeah, he was probably in his 70s. He was walking a little tiny dog. And I said, I'll pray for you. And he said, really? Thank you. I'm so sorry, sir. I'm so sorry. I hope it comes back. I hope the money comes back. But not the woman.
Yeah, yeah. Did he say he's actually sent money to her?
It sounded like he had. Yeah. Really tragic. So, but I had a really nice time with the topic of the retreat was how Jesus did all the work of the Proverbs 31 woman so you wouldn't have to.
Hmm.
It wasn't as funny
that
as I thought it would be. Yeah. No, I said, now he wasn't the Proverbs, but how he did the work.
He did the work for the church.
Yeah.
That the church is required to do. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in Proverbs 31 is a picture of the church.
We figured out we agreed with each other that really the Proverbs 31 woman is not a person. It's got to be the church. It's got to be the eschaton church. Because if you look at all this stuff, it's too glorified. It's not a real person.
I would love if you were the Proverbs 31 woman. I wouldn't have to do anything. I could just sit in the gate.
Yeah.
With my friends. I don't have any friends, but I could sit in the gate and read.
Yeah, you could sit in the gate and read. And you have to adjudicate.
While you're doing the business of the house and paying our servants and knitting things, right?
No. Having a textile entrepreneurial thing where you have ships that bring your textiles back and forth. And
so that would be great. Why don't you get to that? What's your problem?
I know. I have an immense amount of guilt. Just reading the text. So I compared and contrasted the Proverbs 31 woman with Martha in her kitchen.
Right. Who's doing the Proverbs 31 thing, right?
Well, she's not doing textiles.
Well, no, but she's probably has, I mean, I don't know if she, I don't, the text does not tell us, but I imagine that if she's anything like you are,
and she also,
Proverbs 31 was hanging over her head while she was trying to prepare.
She was not
lunch for Jesus and his 12 disciples who show up at her doorstep.
And then she's like, can I get some help here? And Jesus is like, don't worry about lunch. Which continues to bother me, because if he was really going to be nice to her, he would have provided lunch. He would have brought lunch.
Or he would have just said, hey, boom, lunch.
Mm-hmm. Like he did those other times with the lunch. Right. Remember how he produced the lunch?
And then he gone boom and cleaned it up.
Yeah. But instead he's like, oh, your sister's so much better than you. Why can't you be more like your sister? That's what he said. And she... Yeah, and then the text ends and doesn't say that she punched him in the face.
She was... But he was her lord, and he was giving quite true... He was speaking to you there, because there's nothing, no text in the Bible that says the house has to be clean. But that's what makes you most guilty every week. Or that all the...
There's no text that says it doesn't have to be clean, though. Well, there's a lot of things where it says it's has to be clean, though, where it's like things have to be put away and put in order.
Where does it say that? In your personal house, you just put things in order?
No, but the cosmos is kind of ordered, and your house should reflect the truth of the cosmos.
Where does it say that?
It's sort of like the theme that runs through it. Doesn't say it in any particular.
See, this is what I'm saying. You've become
and all women do this. No, Proverbs 31 woman's house is well ordered. That's the whole point of the text, is that her house runs really well. It's a well run house.
Okay, but that's even Proverbs 31 is not a command.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
And so just describing
that was the point of my whole talk is that it wasn't a command.
I remember I read your
talk. It's a description.
It was a great talk. I thought it was really profound. But you don't ever practice anything you preach. because your whole talk is to help take guilt off of women for not doing all the stuff. And
you just meant that it was for other women.
you feel inordinate guilt every week about not doing all the stuff. I mean, and they're all an equal. This is what I understand about women, the way women think.
I didn't know that this was a recrimination against all women this podcasting time.
It's Festivus. It's a Festivus podcast. But everything that's not done is on an equal level. Washing the clothes, cleaning the house, vacuuming, making dinner. That's all on the same level with, I don't know, preparing a retreat that's due the next day.
It was good. You have to open this. Speaking of feeding, you have to open that for the child.
Whoever closes these bagel things, I'm going to have to tear it.
Can I close it?
No, don't close it. Don't.
Not you did it lightly, not hardly?
Don't tear it, because then they get ruined. And they have a careful distribution of bagels. Each person knows exactly the number of bagels they get per day. And no one person, they follow their own system very rigidly. They're very fair with the bagels. There you go.
All right, there you go.
If you violate the bagel distribution thing, then the whole household devolves into complete and total chaos. I did just travel this weekend, and that's why I'm so tired and I can't think straight, but we're gonna travel again soon.
Yeah, we're going to Jerusalem. To GAFCON.
Going to GAFCON. What is GAFCON? Actually, I would really like to know what all the letters stand for, because I kept trying to say and I keep forgetting.
Global.
Is it conference in there?
Yes, Anglican Conference.
Global Anglican Futures.
Global Anglican Futures Conference.
But GAFCON is going on even when there's no conference, so why is the conference part there all the time? Why isn't it
because
just GAF?
Because, I don't know, it should be, well.
I guess I answered my own question.
Well, there's, they're trying to change the name to, I can't remember what there's a three-letter acronym they're trying to change the name to, because GAFCON is an odd name to go with. But it just became the thing because of Jerusalem and the conference. The first conference in Jerusalem was 2008, and that's when the whole thing kind of launched, and so...
Oh, it was 2008. Okay.
You were there.
I was there. I just wasn't sure about the year.
Yeah.
It was 10 years ago.
It was 10 years ago, exactly.
And we took our...
We took Gwendolyn. Who was Gwendolyn. One, or less than
no,
one.
No, she was much less. She was like 9 months or
something.
Yeah, She was adorable.
She was.
But this time, we're not taking her. That's...
Even more adorable.
That's even more adorable. We're not taking any of them, and they're very sad, which I understand, because it would be really fun to take all of our children to Jerusalem. Nice. The white flowers are blooming. It's important for us to know that right now. So we're going to go there.
Yeah.
And there's like Anglican news, right? Important Anglican news.
So, it's not news, but there was some... Okay, so, the Archbishop of Canterbury continues, and I nailed this. I just want to remind everyone out there listening that way back when Welby first became the Archbishop of Canterbury, I posted a series of articles in which I went back and looked at all of his writings, and I said, he is not an evangelical, he is not going to be the guy you think he's going to be. Remember how much push? I got. Give him a chance. You don't know anything about him. You're a horrible person.
You're though.
And people were really upset because they thought this was great coming after Rowan Williams. But I think Rowan Williams was actually better than this guy because at least he was up front.
Well, he had a better speaking voice.
Yeah.
So that's like the royal wedding that he did was better than the royal wedding that this one did.
Right, so Welby comes in...
That matters very much.
...with this idea of... Well, it's not just this idea, it's not just his, but I don't think he would have been appointed if he didn't have this idea that, well, as long as we get together on mission and we basically affirm the basics of Christianity, like, you know, God exists.
God.
But even that, you know...
I'm not sure, though.
Then we can be brothers and sisters in the same communion. We don't have to break communion with anybody. I knew from day one that he wasn't going to try to do any kind of discipline, which he could do by just not inviting various primates and people to the primates meeting, which he's refused to take that step. So because of his fiddling while Rome burns, we have.
You mean Canterbury?
Yeah. The Episcopal Church, not only has the Episcopal Church moved forward in its heresy, but now is Scotland, Ireland, New Zealand.
Tasmania, Tasmania. Meant New Zealand. New Zealand. Sorry.
And there's places in England that are just openly doing the transgender thing. They're worried about. I mean, it's just.
It's metastasized.
Yeah, it's metastasized. Of course, because I wonder who said something about, like, if you don't stop error and sin in a church, it spreads like, what was it?
What was that?
Yeast? Like leaven?
Leaven? No, that doesn't make any sense.
No. So I would hope that GAFCON would finally say, let's break away. But here's the thing. Within GAFCON, there's a lot of people who think, oh, no, we're still part of the... we still want to be connected with Canterbury, so... It's kind of an internal struggle with people who want to break off and people who don't want to break off. People who say, well, we're going to wrest the center of the Anglican Communion from Canterbury and recenter it in Africa. Well, you can't do that. Because unless the whole... You've got a constitutional structure already established with the Anglican Communion. You can't just change by fiat. even if you have a vast, if you have 99% of all Anglicans within the GAFCON provinces, you still couldn't just say, now we're the Anglican Communion and Canterbury's sidelined, because there's an actual, there are actual resolutions and laws and or church laws that have established Canterbury as the center of the communion. So if you're gonna say we're something else, let's do that. Let's say we're I don't know, the Anglican Federation, or the Anglican the Anglican family, or the Anglican of church, or whatever.
We don't say anything that could happen.
The Anglican Community Church.
The Anglican Community. Cross Point Anglican.
Cross Point Anglican, right? North Point.
North Point. No, it was a Sojourn. What are some mega church names that we could adopt for the whole communion?
Let's see. Potential Church.
I love that. There's my favorite. Potential there is. Potential Anglican Communion. Looking out, I see all kinds of potential in this room. Is that Geico? Is that the Geico ad?
Yeah, yeah.
And his nose is growing.
So you can't say, I know, I mean, I like these guys. I love these guys. The Archbishop of Coe, who's my Archbishop, and Archbishop Peter Jensen.
One of your.
And Peter Jensen,
is he an Archbishop?
Yeah. He wasn't a primate, but he was an archbishop.
Okay. One of your archbishops. Who's your other one?
Foley Beach. Right. Why are you?
You have two.
I know, I have two archbishops.
Because you're special. You're a snowflake.
Everyone in Cana East has two.
Yeah.
So you do too.
It's not just you.
It's not just me. But the idea of the center of the communion shifting, or resting the center away from Canterbury is just, it's weird. And I don't know why they don't just say, let's break off and sit out, do our own thing.
Really? You don't know why?
No, I don't know why.
That's ridiculous. No.
We're not the Anglican Communion. We're not, we are, now most of the provinces in GAFCON are in the Anglican Communion, but we're not, we can't just name ourselves.
Yeah, no, you can't just name yourself, right. But you're also, it would be very hard to actually break away.
I don't see why.
Well, I know you don't see the why, but the whole world that can't do that, like, it just can't. It's bare, it's too hard.
It's ridiculous. But then also in with the ACNA, that kind of larger debate goes on within the ACNA, where there are still some in the ACNA who want, we got to work hard to be accepted by Canterbury.
Yeah, I really don't
want to
do that.
Yeah, yeah, it's an odd thing. I'm so happy not to be connected to Canterbury, and I don't know why anyone wants to be connected with Canterbury.
Well, I think every day they help by making it more and more, you know, ridiculous that every day Canterbury and England as a whole does something more obtuse and unhelpful that makes it harder, that furthers to the distance that's already growing.
Well, look what's, who it wasn't, it was not Prince Henry and Princess Meghan who asked the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church to come and preach at their sermon, at their service. It was the Archbishop of Canterbury who intervened and suggested that he do that.
Yeah.
And the Episcopal Church is supposedly under some kind of disciplinary measures. Which it's not. Yeah. So the Archbishop of Canterbury is actively promoting this guy and actively promoting the Episcopal Church. And the Episcopal Church is getting ready to read into to have the first reading of changes to its actual prayer book, not its alternative services, but to its actual prayer book that will take away references to male and female in the marriage liturgy. So instead of saying we've come together to witness the joining together of this man and this woman, these two people or something.
Yeah.
And now that's a big thing. Now, people who are listening and don't know the internal machinations of Anglicanism, when something is put into a prayer book, that represents hard doctrinal change. Like, it's not just an optional thing. If it's in the actual Book of Common Prayer, then no bishop can forbid its use in his diocese.
And then there's more and more pressure put onto individual clergy to use the book because it's the official book.
It's doctrine now.
I mean, you can't really not use it. You have to use it.
Up to this point, Orthodox Episcopalians and Episcopal bishops and Episcopal clergy have been saying, well, okay, we have all these resolutions that have passed. We have these alternative services out there. But you know, the actual prayer book itself as it stands is not heretical, and there's still not an actual doctrinal change. I disagree with that position, but that's what the argument has been. Now, if this goes through, it's the first reading this year. So to change a prayer book, you have to have two successive...
So it has to be like 6 years. Conventions.
So,
because it's every 3 years.
So we'll, right. So this is the first year. So this is in 3 years from now, the next convention, if what they put forward here passes, then the next convention, it can be ratified and be part of the book. And then I don't see how any Orthodox Christian stays, or any Orthodox Christian leader stays in that, bishop stays in that denomination. I think you just got to get out, or else you're compromised. So you're already compromised. But at that point, it's actual doctrinal change. Then you're actually putting forth, you're standing in, it's essentially like you're the Mormon Church or the Jehovah Witnesses. But
you're completely off.
Yeah, so when they do that, but I guarantee you there will not be a whisper of protest from
Canterbury.
Canterbury, right.
Ew, not at all. Of course not.
This has been fascinating for our listeners.
Yeah.
Our listener.
Well, it's important to keep up on your Anglican news.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing else going on in the world right now, so it's important to know the latest, most up-to-date machinations of Anglicanism and Anglicans, that ever-growing population of Christians around the world. In the West, I'm just kidding. There. so we're gonna go to GAFCON. It's gonna be awesome.
We're going on a tour to see the Dead Sea and where they found the scrolls. And then where John the Baptist was baptizing.
That's very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to clean our whole house before I go. I have to deep clean every inch of this house because somebody's gonna come stay here. So that's the most important thing about the Anglican community.
See, this is what we were talking about earlier, isn't it?
That I have to clean desperately and fully into the utmost outer reaches of the sea because somebody's going to come and be in here. I need to get started because I have less than 2 weeks now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're fully behind.
I need to catch up on my email. I need to... I'm behind on social media, too, because I haven't taken, like, an actual break where I didn't even look at anything on Facebook or Twitter for days, and I didn't blog, also. I kind of meant to blog, but then I just sort of relaxed into the sunshine and forgot about it, so that was great.
So you're behind on your blogging.
I'm behind on my blogging, and my email, and my house is dirty, so, yeah. What are you going to do these 2 weeks while I'm desperately
Well, I've
working?
Got a lot of gardening to do.
Yeah. You need to get right on that.
Yeah. Actually, we're going through a lot of work at church right now. A lot of work, pastoral work.
Yeah, there's lots to do
at
church.
And I've got to write sermons.
So I thought, was talking to somebody who gave me this brilliant insight. So just transfer while you're busy saying, don't worry, there's no law that says that you have to do keep the house clean. Transfer that to your own work. There's no law, like, you shouldn't be anxious about the church, your work in the church. You just need to trust God and, like, sit at the feet of Jesus. Don't be such a Martha about the church.
You're making a category error because, in fact, Paul models this. He talks about his shipwrecks and his dying and his, not dying, he's almost coming near death and all. But then he also says, not to mention my constant anxiety about all the churches. So I'm just being like the Apostle Paul. I'm emulating him.
He
even commands
us,
what you see me do, You also do. You model me. I'm modeling the behavior for you.
Don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication,
yeah, you should. You should listen to the Christian Ed thing that we talked about.
You need to relax, and you need to not worry about the church, and like you need it'll still be there tomorrow.
That command is not to feel worry. That command is not to act out of fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not acting out of fear.
You are
at the house.
You scurry about.
You panic.
I don't panic.
You get on the phone or an email and are like, yeah, you do a lot of your work out of sheer terror.
Because we eat because I have a job. Yeah. And if I don't have a job anymore, if like the church were to crash and burn tomorrow, you would starve and you wouldn't have the energy to clean the house. Or make dinner. And that would be a terrible thing for me.
If the church crashed and burned, we could both go work at, like, Panera McDonald's? At 4 in the morning and make bread.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And I'm sorry, but I think that sounds...
We couldn't afford a house.
Well, we could move into something smaller. And, yeah.
That would be horrible.
It's possible that God would take care of us and we would have lots less... frustration and worry if we didn't work in the church. I totally had the bread truck dream all weekend. I met somebody who had his husband had been a pastor.
What's the bread truck fantasy?
Where you dream of quitting your pastoral ministry and driving a truck with the smell of bread around town, delivering bread to stores.
And why is that? Because bread doesn't complain. Bread doesn't leave you. Bread doesn't just send you an email in the middle of the day saying, you know what? I've been here going to this church for 12 years, but I think I'm just going to leave. Yeah. No reason.
I feel
God calling me to go.
Because I just do.
Yeah.
I just do.
Yeah.
I was praying.
As if it's like, I wish people understood. I wish people understood what the church is and what it's not.
What isn't it?
It's not just like this place you hang out. Like, it's not like going to a mall. I used to go to the Oakdale Mall, but I don't like that anymore. So I'm going to go to Sears or whatever. I mean, Sears is out of business.
Yeah, there's no Sears.
It's not that. That's not what the church is. The congregation is the location of the body of Christ. That's when Paul talks about the body of Christ in Romans. I mean, excuse me, 1 Corinthians 12. He's not there. I mean, if you're or you know, even if there's like some kind of theological, like if you change from being an Arminian to a Calvinist, it's understandable you might go and find somewhere else where you had conscientious convictions about the communion supper that you couldn't continue to worship in one place or the other without calling that place a heretic. And there's theological reasons that are necessary.
Although I would say that those theological reasons in general, first of all, I think they're often driven by personal feelings. Like your own theology is often... Yeah. Colored by how you're feeling.
Right.
And then I would say that the reasons that you couldn't stay in a church would be actually much less than... So we had somebody go away who didn't believe in infant baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Which actually like constitutes about 50% of our church.
Yeah, half of the church doesn't believe in infant baptism. But because you believe in it, this person couldn't stay.
Yeah.
Even though, like, there's so much room, it's not a splittable issue.
Right, right.
You really should be, like, the gospel itself is being compromised or there's something really ugly going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's not, I know belonging to a local church is not a marriage, don't get me wrong, but there are some parallels there because you commit to other people.
Yeah.
You make the decision to agape that group of people, and there needs to be something really strong to break that.
Yeah. Because when you go, you are breaking something.
Yeah.
You're breaking something and the people that you leave behind are necessarily in pain when you go.
Yeah.
And it's a lingering pain. Yeah. It's a lingering...
Because you look around, God's been gracious to us. We've had some growth lately. I panicked when I realized certain people were moving away, and then we had some losses recently that were difficult. But, you know, God's also been gracious and brought us some wonderful, wonderful people to fill the spaces. But that's kind of what God does. He just...
He only ever fills his spaces.
He fills his spaces.
We never get
right. Big. But it's just it's heartbreaking because you pour your you pour pastoral care and life. And
you pray life for certain. You pray. For,
yeah,
pray for
yeah,
people.
And then they just kind of leave.
And then they're just, like, "Oh, I just don't think I can do this anymore." So without a lot of
reason.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, so the bread truck.
Fantasy is to get away from it because the bread doesn't leave you.
Well, you give it to stores and it makes people happy.
And you don't feel bad about it.
Here's some bread. Yeah. It's my job to give you this bread.
And then at 5 o'clock,
you leave.
You go home.
Yeah.
You just go home. And the bread doesn't call you. The bread doesn't divorce other breads. The bread doesn't get locked up in jail for drunk driving. I mean, it's...
There's so many things.
So the bread doesn't do.
Yeah. I met somebody who had been in pastoral ministry and now owns a restaurant. And there's a lot of crossover. Like, it's still their sense of a ministry. But there's also that you close the thing down. You lock it at night and walk away. And... That's amazing. This person was like,
her husband was a pastor and quit?
Yeah.
Or stopped being a husband?
Yeah. Then I wouldn't use the word quit. The Lord graciously allowed him to do something else. He was very grateful to be allowed to do another job because it was really, it was wearing.
It does wear on you. It's an emotionally... Unless you adopt the permanent Ecclesiastes mindset, where you know what, I'm just going to enjoy my work,
and I don't.
I'm going to write my sermon, study, and eat and drink, and let the sun, and then let God be sovereign over who comes and goes, and I'm just going to kind of float along in a. It's all going to die anyway. I mean, I'm going to die. The people who I'm caring for are going to die. It's all. We're going to be
we're
raised
all gonna
from
die.
We're going to raise. Yeah, God's going to raise us from the dead. But it's all. It's futile anyway, so just enjoy.
Just enjoying. The problem is, Paul doesn't adopt the Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, he doesn't, does right. he?
He's, like, tortured as he's boating around the Mediterranean.
Right, I mean, you read 2 Corinthians, it's like this really
heartbroken. He is so stressed.
Letter. Trying to get them to be, just be good.
Yeah.
Stop being bad. You guys.
I linked that last week.
Okay, right.
So I don't know if I can link it again, but maybe I should. Stop being bad. You're so bad. You're the worst.
And you, John, you're the worst. You're the worst. You should link it again.
Now his name was Dan.
Dan, you should link it.
I will link it again.
Again, yeah.
Yeah.
How did we get that subject? We were talking about.
We're talking about the Anglican Communion. Stop being bad. We should move on with our lives because I do have to clean all the things today and do all the things and I have to return my car.
Do we have people coming over today?
Yeah.
On our day off.
It's going to be fantastic. We're having so many social events. No, you don't like any social events.
On my day off.
No, but anytime. But the person that's coming over today... was the one of the brilliance that said, if people rise up on the Sunday morning and the sun is shining in the right direction and the breakfast was good enough in the right quality and quantity, then they gaze out of the window and think, maybe I could go to church today. But it all has to align perfectly.
Yes.
And then they can go. And so it wasn't just... us that had bad attendance all winter. Winter destroyed the church attendance in this town. Many pastors came home, lay on the floor after church.
Groaning. Depression.
Yeah. And wondered. And had this.
I was like that all
winter. Dreamt about the bread truck.
Yeah. February.
The stars did not align.
February and toward the end of March, it was just awful.
Yeah. But there was a lot of snow. And the sun didn't come out at all. And probably people didn't even eat breakfast. So, yeah. But now, not today. It's gray. and cold today,
but the my sun God has continued to. It was cloudy. It wasn't raining, but it was cloudy and cold yesterday. So
yeah, so people couldn't had go to anywhere. Go to
church. I mean, God has been so faithful to me.
He has been faithful.
I've been
to
praying
you.
For horrible weather every Sunday, and it's just boom, 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 boom. And yeah. Our attendance has been
really great because amazing.
Even the first Sunday of June, we hit above average, which is that never happens. On attendance in June. In June, people are already
like, oh, look at the weather.
Look, it's summer.
I know we'll come back
to church in September.
But then we won't because it'll be nice weather then,
and
too.
And we've already gotten the habit of not coming to church, so.
I think this was like the festivus against the church.
Now we're recriminating
each other. We're recriminating the body of Christ.
Yes.
That's okay. Right. It's God's church. He can do whatever he wants with it. Mm-hmm. Good luck to him. But I am going
to
clean
all things. He
says he
will build his church.
Yeah.
And so that means...
You are going to be so tired and unhappy. Just like the Proverbs 31 woman who's like freaking out.
No, it's not just like
kitchen.
The Proverbs 31 woman.
No, it's exactly the same. It's not gendered.
It is.
The description
it's actually
of the
a
person.
Proverbs 31 woman. That's gendered.
Yeah.
Is it?
I feel like Paul is a good Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha. Because he's so stressed. Anyway, we've got to stop. I've tried to wrap this up four times.
Yeah,
and
okay,
we
I'm sorry.
Complaining. So, we'll be back next week with more interesting things.
Yeah, we just were so tired that we didn't have anything
Thank
to talk about.
Thank you for
about,
listening,
so.
Though. Bye. Thank you. Yeah.